You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Small Screen Heroes.
Everybody, welcome back another episode of Small Screen Heroes. I am your host, Batch. Small Screen Heroes is your one-stop shop for all things superhero pop culture in binge media. We like to say we are the show where superhero fatigue does not exist. Sorry, Garrett. This week, I got a very special guest. The one, the only, Super Mercy. How you doing?
Hey. On the show, finally.
Valet galore to me and Luke on the wrestling cast, so I have to have you on Small Screen Heroes.
Yeah, I'm either your valet or just your complete equal or the star of the team. I don't know yet.
I was going to say, are you our China, but in a good way?
I don't know. I feel like I'm the standout of the group.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are, Small Screen Heroes is a spoiler podcast, so anything we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about in depth. If you have not listened to or watched or read anything in the topics this week, then come back at a later time. So, you are a fan of the superheroes, as it were.
Well, there is super in my name, so yes. Clearly I picture myself as a superhero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you more of a superwoman compared to, like, a supergirl?
I took on the super name because I am part of the super family. I'm a supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm their long-lost other cousin.
The Australian one, the one that went from Krypton to Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How do you feel about the upcoming Superwoman series with Lois Lane as a superwoman?
Don't know much about it, but you know what? I'm always willing to give things a shot. It just depends what they do. Like,
well, as I say, like, I'm not even clear. Is it the one like the pre-52 Lois, or is it the new 52 Lois? Like, there's so many bloody Superman going. Like, since Rebirth Superman died, then pre-52 Superman is now Superman, and then Lex Luthor is Superman. And then there's this Chinese guy that is Superman.
I don't know. This is what I hate. Like, there's just way too many things going on, and then it's like, I can't fucking keep up.
I do like how basically DC has totally caved to their fan base and just brought Wally West back and brought pre-New 52 Superman and Lois back.
I have catching up to do, but I try and stay in the loop as best as I can.
Have you read Rebirth yet? Any of that?
I haven't. I just am aware of what's going on. There's like a massive pile sitting somewhere with a bunch of comics needing my attention.
Well, that's why I am good friends with the Anonymous comic book guy. Like, Law and Moreno have Anonymous movie guys, so Anonymous comic book guy has never let me down yet.
Well, I actually have them in my possession. It's just a matter of my brain functioning to a point where I can read these things.
Yes.
Which it never does. So,
we are into a little bit further into Civil War II. Big developments. Big death in the third issue that came out last week. Spoiler, the death of Bruce Banner.
So I hear.
For now, until he gets better and comes back, because, well, this is comics, so...
It's comics. Nobody really legitimately stays dead.
Except for Uncle Ben. which
he
they
just
had
to die in movies.
Yes, every single movie. Like, that's one thing I really hope about this new Spider-Man movie. Uncle Ben does not need to die. We know. Great, great responsibility, great power, yada, yada, yada. Just get on in the suit and away you go.
Yeah.
But, interesting, like, with what's been going down with Ulysses, the Inhuman that has the ability to see the future, they saw Hulk all hulking out and killing everybody, so everybody dogpiles on Banner. He just show up at his door, and he's like, what did I do? Because he hadn't turned Hulk in a year, because Amadeus Cho is now the Hulk. He absorbed all the gamma radiation from Hulk a while ago. And we haven't seen Banner up until, like, this point. So, all hell's breaking loose. Luke's, like, really tense. Tony's trying to talk him down. Carol's like, you need to come with us. And just as Banner starts to lose his temper, you just see this arrow come from the bushes and just impale him. And everyone runs to the bushes, and it's Hawkeye just standing there. So, rest of the issue actually takes place with Hawkeye's trial. And Matt Murdock is the prosecuting attorney. And it was kind of interesting how they told the format of telling the story with Hawkeye's trial for killing Bruce Banner. And basically Hawkeye's defense was Bruce told me to do it because he hadn't been the Hulk for a while. And he gave him a special arrow that would kill him if he ever hulked out again. So the question is, was he hulking out or wasn't he hulking out?
You're making me, like, actually really want to read it.
Civil War 2 is actually not that bad so far.
Like, rather than just hearing about it, like, actually reading it.
Yes.
How does this compare to, like, the original, Civil War?
Well, it's interesting.
Which I did read back in the day, but I remember jack shit because alcohol and whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, the original beef in the original Civil War, the comics, was Cap versus Tony, registration for heroes versus non-registration. So, obviously, Tony went with the government side that all superhero beings have to be registered, and Cap was we need to be independent. We can't have the government telling us what to do. Then it ended with Cap saying, yeah, you know what, maybe you're right. Whereas this Civil War, it's between Tony and Captain Marvel, and it's, if you have the ability to change the future, should you? Or should you not know what the future is? Like, that was one of Tony's big beefs, is like, when Banner got shot, it's like, we're supposed to be defending people, we're supposed to be avenging. It's interesting, and, like, as a side effect, like, I haven't had a time to actually read all the tie-ins yet, but as we mentioned in previous shows with Denny, the X-Men one is actually really good too, because Magneto has basically declared war on the Inhumans because the Terrigen Mists that are going around the planet are actually turning people into Inhumans, are also sterilizing all the mutants and killing them as a virus.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah, so
that's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. So basically, Magneto's like, all right, enough's enough. We got to take out the Inhumans. And Nightcrawler actually joins Magneto's side.
Okay.
I know they've been building to a war between the Inhumans and the mutants for a while.
Yeah.
No relation to Fox having the movie rights to X-Men and Marvel's lack of pushing any merchandise with X-Men or Fantastic Four. It's one of the big reasons why there isn't currently a Fantastic Four book on the market right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're pretty much just not doing much of anything because of the movie rights.
Stupid Fox.
Yeah, just they don't know what they're fucking doing. Just give up the rights, you dickheads.
Yep.
It's going to stop making you any money at some point. Like, come on.
Because you know the last Fantastic Four movie did so well.
Oh, my God. It made them so much money. It was so well received. Like, every Fantastic Four movie was so well received.
I saw it was on Netflix. It had, like, a 1-star review on Netflix, and I still won't watch it.
I don't know. Is it right of me to say that the best Fantastic Four movie was the one that never got a release?
I didn't mind, like, the previous two ones, like the ones with Michael Chiklis and Cap as Human Torch.
That was silly. They were really, like, hard to watch, but they're kind of, like, funny, watchable, I guess.
I got a feeling they're going to age very well, where most superhero movies don't.
Like, you know, I could probably watch a Fantastic Four movie probably over Spider-Man 3, for example.
Like, okay, cast a Fantastic Four movie. Like, what would be your ultimate Fantastic Four movie?
I have thought about it, but I don't know.
Because we did a casting call for the Inhumans in a previous episode. Let's do casting call on Fantastic Four.
Jeez, put me on the spot. Like, I have nothing prepared.
That's okay. That's how we fly here. That's how we roll in small
scale. Yep, nope, here we go. John Cena as the Invisible Woman. Because no one can see him.
Nope, this is a John Cena free space. This is a safe space. There will be no John Cena on this show whatsoever.
He can't be seen, so...
I like
invading your safe space.
No, this is a John Cena free bunker.
All right, God damn it, I don't know.
Okay, let's start with the Thing. So basically, Thing, would you want to do CGI Thing or practical Thing? Or a bit of both?
I think it would need to kind of be a bit of both.
First things first, he has to be wearing fucking pants.
Yes.
So...
I agree with the pants, or the shorts, or whatever, yeah.
Who has the good voice?
Who... Because I think they actually, like, the one bit of casting they did well in the other movies was Chiklis, because he's just that cool of a dude.
Yeah, he could do the gravelly voice, and he actually made it work.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of, I don't know, he made it work for him, but...
So you need, like, a New Yorker, like, someone's got a little bit of street sparks, someone who's a little bit rough around the edges.
Oh, man, who the fuck would you want to pick? Damn.
Doesn't necessarily have to be an actor.
I was going to say, you just pick someone from the WWE. That's not JC.
No. A Big Show is the Thing. Have this giant fucking rock dude.
You could have Big Show play him like when he's in as the Thing.
Yeah. Well, they did the same thing with Colossus. They just got, like, a big dude. Well, okay, there you go. Why not have the guy that played the Mountain on Game of Thrones as a Thing?
That could work. Just don't have him talk. Have someone else do his voice.
He can wear the mocap suit for the Thing, and then you just have...
Well, there you go. You have someone else.
To have John DiMaggio do the voice of the Thing in the movie.
There you go.
I'm sure he could pull off a good New York gravelly voice. Just do Marcus Phoenix. Just do his Marcus Phoenix voice from Gears of War. So, Invisible Woman. Who is your who would you cast as Invisible Woman?
Oh man, Invisible Woman. Invisible Woman. Ah, that's a tough one because I don't think who they've like had in the past has really worked. Because Jessica Alba was terrible.
Yeah, like why not have someone who's actually blonde?
And then, I don't know, I think the, I forgot her name, is it Kate Mara?
I think so.
In the newer movie, I mean, okay-ish choice, but just bad movie.
Need someone who's smart, who's kind of sexy, but kind of like motherly in a role. Because you really want to do something like that really builds up like the family dynamic.
Yeah, sexy mother. That just sounds wrong.
Do we want to do like them, like as they've been like the Fantastic Four in a while? So like an older.
I'd say have instead of doing another fucking origin, like we know the origin. Have them already be established. I would say.
How about Julie Benz?
That could possibly work because she is pretty cool.
Yeah, so you do Julie Benz as Invisible Woman. We'll do like an older Reed and Sue. So then if you go towards that, who would be a good Reed Richards? Brainy type, smartest guy in the room.
Smartest guy in the room. Oh, You know, if I had time to think about it, I probably would actually have answers, but I so don't because I don't think about anything.
So let's go with, let's throw a couple names out there.
Thinking older, like,
How about Kevin Klein? He's a bit too old. Well, do Kevin Klein, but just have them do that, like, CGI, like they did with Robert Downey Jr. to make him, like, young in Civil War. Take, like, 20 years off Kevin Klein.
He could probably be like, he could be, he could be Dr. Doom instead.
No, Dr. Doom. I've got a Dr. Doom. Why don't you do someone like Viggo Mortensen would be a good Dr. Doom.
And yeah, I could say that.
And he would probably go do it like really method where actually take actually a burning metal mask and seal it to his face. Because that's kind of how Viggo Mortensen is with his movie roles. Horribly disfigure himself just to feel like...
Just the role, yeah.
Yeah. And get, what's his name, Hemsworth, Thor's brother, to be Johnny Storm.
Liam.
Liam, yeah. Liam Hemsworth.
I'm not complaining about a Hemsworth in anything, because they have very beautiful Australian men.
Yeah. Gotta have some Australian content for this episode.
Yeah, right? Just cast a Hemsworth in something.
And cast, like, Charlie Day as Mole Man, I don't know.
Cast Charlie Day as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, just cast the cast, have the entire cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as the Fantastic Four. Okay, there you go. There is your casting. Who is who? So, which of the gang is the thing? Is it is
Frank
Mac?
Frank has to be the thing, clearly.
Who is it? Mac?
Frank. Danny DeVito has to be the thing.
Okay, so Frank is the thing. That would make Dennis Mr. Fantastic. Because he's got the biggest ego of all of them. He's the most vain. It would make weird because D would have to be Invisible Woman.
Yeah. Which would be weird. Yeah.
So does that make Charlie the Human Torch or is Mac the Human Torch?
Oh, Mac would be the Human Torch.
Mac wouldn't understand the concept and he would want to be the Punisher.
And because Charlie is the wild card, he would be Dr. Doom. And he would eat stickers as power.
Yes. So that's a Fantastic Four casting. What have you been
done? What have I been reading? I just finished. I'm gonna get the title right. 6-issue like mini series with DC. Poison Ivy. I think the subtitle was Cycle of Life and Death. So I don't know if you know about that one. Finished up not too long ago. Kind of wish it wasn't only 6 issues. It's really interesting. It's more like Ivy going, like stepping away from everything and focusing on being a scientist and working in a lab, but things go wrong and she's doing specific research that gets stolen and it sort of goes from there, and there's a few little like cameos from other characters, but it's, I thought it was really, really good. I was really into what they were doing with it and what they did with her character and what they've explored with it. I don't want to
Does it cast her as a villain or does it cast her almost as like the anti-hero in it?
I don't know. I would say it's like neither. She is just a person, really, trying to do something. I wouldn't say do something good, but more to do something for herself in a way. I know it's like spoilers, whatever, but...
Well, we are a spoiler podcast, so...
Which just, you know, if people who are listening, if they want to read it but don't want to know, then tune out now. But she creates her own Spawlings who become her children. So they're like human plant hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Which the creation of those is really interesting, and how they handle it and how she's like taking on the role of a mother. But then you also have like a villain in the background who's stolen her research, and you sort of don't really know what they might want to do with what she's doing. So I found it really interesting. Like, they got a lot done in 6 issues, but I kind of wish it was ongoing, because I kind of like where what they've done with the character, and just the light that she's seen in. But also, there's a lot of potential for the children she's got. If I can remember their names, they're all girls, Thorn, Rose, and Hazel. And they are pretty cool too.
Does that have anything to do with like that classic DC hero, like Rose and Thorn? Or was she just going with like plant stuff?
She named them to reflect like their personality.
Ah, okay.
Hmm. But it's a really good little series that I quite enjoyed.
Nice. I always wish they would kind of do more with Poison Ivy, like with Swamp Thing and Jason Woodrow. Just tie her more into like that kind of family.
Well, there is an appearance by Swamp Thing in this comic.
Sweet.
And they kind of they do tie them together in a way, so it's pretty cool. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, I would want more.
Nice.
I think what they've explored is really good, because you kind of see her in a different light. And where it's a comic where she's not like a villain or a hero or an anti-hero, she's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really recommend it. I'm sure it'll be out as a trade at some point.
What other DC books are you reading? Cause you're more of a DC girl, aren't you?
I tend to, because my partner is just all DC, and there just tends to be only DC stuff around. That's mainly what I end up reading.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the person that I am, if the people who are listening may not know me very well or know much about me, but I am a big toy collector.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things I collect are dolls, which I collect Monster High, Ever After High dolls. But DC recently released DC Superhero Girls.
Awesome. Can I have a conversation with you, because you know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. So
is DC Superhero Girls one of the smartest things they've actually pulled off yet?
It is amazing. This is a great way. And I don't even think it's just for girls. Like, boys can fucking get into this shit.
I think it's cool as hell. Like, explain what DC Superhero Girls is to someone who's like never heard of it.
Well, all right. So it's kind of, I guess, DC going with, like Mattel, who have done Monster High, Ever After High. So it's the same, similar concept of what they are, whereas Monster High is the sons and daughters of famous monsters, and they go to high school. Ever After High is the sons and daughters of famous, like, fairy tale characters who go to high school. DC Superhero Girls is just the superheroes, younger, but in, like, a superhero high school.
Mostly female.
Mostly, but
so you have Wonder Woman, you'll have Harley Quinn, you'll have Poison Ivy, Batgirl, Supergirl.
Bumblebee, who I'd never heard of until this.
She was a Titans character.
Yeah. There's the main six. Is that the main six? Wonder Woman, Supergirl.
Yeah.
And Katana, who's they haven't released a doll for her, but her doll is a SDCC exclusive.
Yeah, Katana's in everything now. She's in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
I got a feeling she may be one of those breakout characters in 2017.
Yeah, I think she will be. But yeah, that's the gist of what DC Superhero Girls is.
They're all going to school. They're teaching them to be better superheroes. So Amanda Waller is the principal.
Grodd is the vice principal.
Yeah. So you do see the odd male character, like I've seen Beast Boy in some of the cartoons. Yeah, because we should mention this too. It's kind of started off as a series of shorts on YouTube.
Yeah, so same with Monster High and Ever After High. It's like a web series on YouTube, like 1 to 2 minutes long. Which I do think they'll eventually expand like they have with those two things where they
announced there is a movie coming out.
Yeah. So the other properties, they have movies and then they release the dolls to tie in with the web series and whatever, but I don't know. I'm not sure if it's been announced or what they're doing with more dolls, because I love the dolls. I've got all the dolls and the figures so far, yeah. And they're amazing, by the way. They are. They're actually taller than Monster High, Never After High.
I do like the art design, too, how everything kind of looks almost like that anime but not anime cartoony style.
Yeah. It's they haven't, like, over-sexualized anything at all, but they haven't kiddified it too much.
Yeah, like Harley is cute, but she's still like the essence of what Harley Quinn is.
Yeah, and Supergirl's just in like a really cute outfit. Wonder Woman's got like the leggings. Ivy's in like a little dress, but she's got the plants. Bumblebee's actually looks really cool. She's got the wings, but I love her whole costume. It's really cool. And Batgirl has all their accessories and stuff. But they've also got, like, the little figurines as well. So it's, like, a cool little line of stuff.
Yeah. I have not picked up any of these. I would not. But full disclosure, the fiancé, she loves Harley. So I was able to find her a Harley Quinn figure from the DC Superhero Girls, and she loves it. I also picked up the individual issue they put out for Free Comic Book Day. And it's kind of cool just to show how marketing it is, just because DC needs to get new readers. Basically, she gave it to her two nieces and they destroyed the book in terms of just like reading it cover to cover.
Yeah. So the release for Free Comic Book Day is basically the first two chapters of the newly released first graphic novel, which I did just read. And it's a really great introduction to, I guess, DC Superhero Girls, but just a great way for, I guess, a younger audience to jump into comics. Like, I could show this to my six-year-old niece and read it to her, and she would love it. But it's still kind of like a fun thing as an adult that I can enjoy, where it's like about they've got, like, the finals for the semester are coming up, and there's an unseen villain who looks like he's going to be taking them out, so that's kind of what it's about. So it kind of ties in like the superhero but the school element, but it flows really well. It's easy to read, it's not overly complicated, but I think there's enough in there that you can enjoy, and the artwork is beautiful. I love the designs. I love the costumes. And just you start to get more of the dynamics between the characters, which is really good. And you do get to see more of the male characters. Like, there's a bit of Beast Boy in there. There's a bit of Flash in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if Marvel rips it off and brings back, like, Avengers Academy or something like that.
Considering the popularity, I think, like, the dolls are continuously, like, sold out at the shops. But they've also got, like, little gadgets and stuff for, I can't think of what they had. I think they had, like, a Wonder Woman set or something. They're coming up with all sorts of things. So it's, like, this amazing thing where you've got this great range of toys. You've got a really fun little web series. Now you've got the book. Like, they're really stretching it across. And I think it's something that they were lacking a lot with Monster High in the beginning, because then they started doing, like, Monster High little graphic novels, which were really fun.
Yeah, I noticed there's, like, a series of young adult books, too, with DC Superhero Girls. Like, one will focus on Wonder Woman, one will focus on Supergirl. And I think they even have, like, an app on the App Store, too, that just has links to all the animated episodes.
Yeah. So I think it's really good. Like, it's encouraging so much stuff for young people, and it's stuff I enjoy getting into with, like, Monster High and Ever After High, which is the novels as well as the movies and all that stuff. Like, I immerse myself completely.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there's DC Superhero Girls, it's so me, and it's so good. especially now that I don't like the direction they're taking Monster High. They've rebranded it for much younger kids, and I'm just like, nah.
So Monster High sold out, did it?
It did. It's trying to be more like Barbie-ish. Now, I love Barbie, don't get me wrong, but what I loved about Monster High was a little bit darker. The designs were a bit more monster-ish. Now they're kind of a bit more kiddie, and I'm just like, I'll go with the superheroes.
When I saw Monster High, all I could think of was like were those Living Dead dolls that were all the rage a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember those.
But it's funny, there's a big trend now, because now Marvel is starting to push a lot of their younger heroes. Instead of launching a new Young Avengers book, they are launching it. They're bringing back the Champions, which was a team that was in the 1970s, early 80s. At that time, consisted of Iceman, Angel, I think Ghost Rider, Black Widow. But this time, it's going to be the new Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Marvel Girl, the female Teenage Vision that has been in Vision's new book. That's a series that everyone should be reading. Yeah, the new Vision book. It's almost like a horror series, but not really. Because have you been following what's been going on in the Vision series?
Not really, no.
So Vision is essentially basically created himself a wife and two kids. Like him. And essentially, because you know how his brain memories, memory patterns are based off almost like Wonder Man, mm-hmm. as the template. Well, his wife's are based off Wanda Maximoff, and the kids are based off their kids that might have been alive, might not have been alive. So we all know that was going to end well. So his teenage daughter's going to be part of the new Champions team, and I think the Teenage Hulk Amadeus Cho is going to be on that too. Really interesting for them just to create a new property with using a classic name. I guess they couldn't use the name Champions for years because of the role-playing game that was called Champions. But I guess Disney paid off a lot of money, so they can do whatever they want because it's Disney.
Yeah. Disney owns everything.
Mm-hmm. What other kind of comic news before we start getting into more TV? I guess there's going to be a new Iron Man series where Doctor Doom is Iron Man.
I had not heard of this.
Yeah, so when they finished with Secret Wars, Doctor Doom showed up and he had no scarring on his face, and he wasn't necessarily a bad guy anymore. But I guess he's going to get his own suit of his own version of Iron Man's armor. But it's going to be the gray and silver. It actually looks pretty cool. No idea where that's going to go, but leave it to Marvel to keep doing interesting stuff with Iron Man.
Yeah, well,
and there's going to be a new teenage African-American female Iron Man, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody I know who I had met, years ago on the convention circuit, his name's Tom Taylor, he was actually writing Superior Iron Man, and he's doing Female Wolverine right now. I think that's still ongoing.
That was a good series. I like that Superior Iron Man series. Just basically, what if... Yeah, because that came out at the tail end of Access, where basically all the heroes got turned into villains and villains got turned into heroes. Mm. What if... Yeah, because the premise of that was, what if Tony Stark never stopped just being a dick? moment in his origin where he realized, hey, I gotta change my ways. What if he was just still arrogant and egocentric and I can do anything because I'm Tony fucking Stark? But when Secret Wars happened, that kind of all just went psh, and the Marvel Universe went control, delete, reboot. And everything went back to normal.
It's kind of cool, saying, hey, I knew that dude before he he went to, I think it was originally Dark Horse with Star Wars, then DC doing Injustice, and now Marvel, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a buddy I went to high school with who started writing comics, Chip Zdarsky. Yeah, and he did Howard the Duck for Marvel, and now he's actually writing the Jughead book over at Archie, and I think he's going to be the new writer on Star-Lord.
Nice.
Let's see if I can get him for this show. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So, moving on to television, we are kind of like in the lull of comic book TV shows because it is the summer, but Preacher is still going on. Have you been watching Preacher at all or no?
I haven't started it. I can't. This is the thing with me now. I kind of prefer to binge watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, now, I know this is going to come as a shock to everybody considering how much I've talked about Supergirl. I've only watched, like, the first episode of the show because I'm waiting to get the DVD so I can just binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I revisited The Flash with the lady because she hadn't watched it and I kind of forced her to watch it. So now, like, we're kind of getting into Supergirl because she showed an interest in the character. So I'm, like, five episodes in with it, and I don't know. I like the crossover episode with Flash, but Jimmy Olsen on that show pisses me off because it's not Jimmy Olsen. Her friend looks more like and feels like more like Jimmy Olsen than.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, there's a lot I like about the show. I like the fact that they put in characters like Red Tornado, the DEO, stuff like that. Maxwell Lord, I think that's pretty cool that he's actually in like a show, especially now that everything is on the CW, as we've said before on the show. But it's not perfect. That show needs to be tweaked to really kind of take advantage because they've cast Superman, so Superman will be on next season. And the big rumor is that they're going to they're going to have Batman on the CW shows too.
I'm not sure if I see that happening, but it could. Because I feel like Arrow has kind of been like a Batman TV series that doesn't have Batman.
Well, since like they're doing Flashpoint, they kind of need to have some type of Batman.
Mm.
Unless they do Arrow, like the Batman thing with Arrow and his father, where it turns out his dad, Oliver Queen's dad, is a Green Arrow. But it's hard to say. Like, there's also that rumor that won't go away that they may actually do a second season of Constantine because everything's just going to be on the CW.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I do need to catch up on like Arrow and Flash from this past season, some sort of halfway through. I haven't started Legends.
Legends is actually fairly decent. I was worried about Legends, but I like the fact that it wasn't actually a full season.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I need to sort of watch them all, like, one by one? Because then when there's the crossovers, like, do I need to be watching them at the same time? I'm so confused as how it's meant to work.
I would go forward with Flash. You can almost kind of skip Arrow this season. Except for the one crossover episode where they did, where they more or less kind of introduce Hawkman, Hawkgirl, and Vandal Savage.
Mm.
If you watch, like, as long as you know who, like, the Atom is, like, he wasn't really even on Arrow that much this season. Because essentially, when he came back, that's when Legends started, and then he was just off to Legends.
And is it, I don't know if this was brought up, I don't remember a bloody thing, but isn't Netflix going to be getting all these shows like a month after they finished or something like that?
I know. Actually, we should talk about this. That new Star Trek series that was supposed to be only out on CBS All Access, the new Star Trek show, they're going to put the first episode on CBS. Then you had to go to CBS All Access, their subscription service, to be able to watch the show. Word broke this week that Netflix will be carrying the new Star Trek show, like, next day.
Yeah, that's, I think it's going to be for us here as well, so.
Yeah, they've got, like, the international, like, launch to it, so Canada, probably Australia. So the States, you may still have to go to CBS All Access. I don't know how that's going to work. But that's kind of cool, because it's weird to not have a Star Trek show on TV.
I'm one of the biggest Star Trek geeks or nerds, whatever the fuck you want to call it, out there, but I'm so just caught up in my traditional Star Trek that, like, with these new movies, I'm just feeling like they're not really Star Trek, and then I'm sort of hesitant with the new show, but I'm kind of excited at the same time. I just don't want to be disappointed.
I got a problem with the Star Trek movies because I like the fact that because the way that they rebooted it, that wasn't a reboot. It's just like an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
So everything that happened before still happened. Nothing is like kind of wiped away, unlike the Ghostbusters movie. Have you seen it yet?
I saw it yesterday, actually.
How is it? I haven't seen it yet.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah? It's not the
greatest thing, but it's not the best thing, but I enjoyed it.
My issue with the Ghostbusters movie getting, I have not seen it yet, so I'll probably go more in depth on the show once I have seen it, because technically they're superheroes. They're heroes and they're fighting the supernatural, so that's a hero to me.
Well, there's always been Ghostbusters comics and whatnot, so...
I got zero problem with an all-female team of Ghostbusters. My issue with it is that it's a reboot, so they basically kind of waved away the first movie. I would rather them have just continued on
with
the story and the license. And
that's what I would have liked to have, like, had, you know, the other guys maybe, like, retiring.
Yeah.
And these women kind of get involved with doing it. But that said, the way they've kind of done it in the movie, I feel like as a remake, whatever you want to call it, it respects where it comes from. It tries something new as well, which I think you've got to do. You can't just have a carbon copy. And I think that's what they did wrong with the trailers, because it felt like a full copy, whereas there's nods to what's come before it, but it's still trying to be its own thing. And, you know, I think there's similarities with the three white chicks, the one black chick, where they had, you know, the three white guys, the one black dude, kind of a similar thingy, but where they really didn't need to do that. But they're also just trying to kind of give, I guess, the women like a very strong role, and sort of reducing the men to positions that you would normally see women have in a lot of big movies, which I kind of thought was funny, and I appreciated that you can really see that sort of thing.
But that seems just too on the nose to do. It's like, oh, look how trendy we are. Look how progressive we are. Well, I don't know. It seems kind of hacky.
I think it's different when you see it.
Okay.
I think, at least for me, it was.
See, the Ghostbusters book that IDW is putting out has been really, really good. Like, because they pay full respect to the original four characters, but they've expanded the universe. So there's actually new Ghostbusters. There are female Ghostbusters. There's new characters. It honors the tradition with that, but just keeps building to it. It's kind of what I want out of a Ghostbusters movie rather than just a reboot.
I mean, I don't think it's a failure. I don't think it's a complete success.
It's a 4 out of 10?
I'm going with like 7 out of 10. I probably had a lot more fun than I ever expected to have with it. And I enjoyed it.
Well, hopefully I'll get to see it soon.
I'd say, you know, it's worth it. It's quite fun. I mean, at least that's for me.
Mm-hmm. It's funny though, it opened up in second place, so I guess I won't be getting that many Binge Fantasy League points for it, because I have Miss Melissa McCarthy on my team.
Anyway.
Oh, the Binge Fantasy League. Maggie Grace is going to kill my team. She's not in a goddamn thing this year. Get your shit together, Maggie Grace. Get a new agent. Need those points.
Yeah, just do things solely for Bash to get his points.
Exactly. That's how things should be. What else have you been watching, or et cetera, et cetera?
As I said, like, I'm just waiting so I can sort of binge watch a lot of the CW stuff. Wait to watch Preacher. I don't know. I kind of want to watch it, but I kind of just want to binge through it at the same time.
Well, we're 8 episodes in. It's finally starting to pick up a bit. It's still not quite where it needs to be. But,
So I kind of like just to binge through something, because I can see it then pick up.
I would
like with shows like this, whereas if it's like a crime show or something, as much as I want to like be able to binge through it, I kind of like the mystery and the build up, if that makes sense whatsoever.
I would definitely, if you're looking for like a good kind of like sci-fi show to binge, definitely The 100 is worth checking it out.
I've heard a lot of things about it, and it does have some Aussies in it.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with The 100 that much?
Not a lot. I kind of just know a little bit what it's about. I see it advertised all the time.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's got Aussies in it.
So we just finished the third season of it. That was a show that was kind of had, I guess, had the Netflix exclusive. So when a new episode came out, it just immediately went to Netflix. So basic premise, it's the future. Everything's fucked up. Nuclear wastelands all over the earth. And basically all of human race were on these 12 space stations that kind of all banded together to make this one huge complex, and that's where the human race has been for like the last 100 years, because they couldn't go on the ground. But then they find out that the oxygen levels on the space station aren't enough to support all life. So basically, they took all the 100 of the kids that were all like kind of in jail for breaking the rules and things like that, and decided, okay, let's send them to the ground, because either they're going to die or the Earth is going to be habitable again. So then it goes from there. So what it kind of starts off on the surface as almost like a Lord of the Flies kind of thing. That's very much that, almost is kind of what like that first season, because it's a bunch of teenagers on the ground. So of course everyone's going to kind of hook up and go wild, and we don't have to follow their rules anymore, blah, 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 blah. Then turns out the Earth, the ground is habited by people who've been living on in the forest and stuff like that. And eventually it gets almost like second season almost has more of like a Battlestar Galactica vibe, because there gets almost like three tribes. You got the people coming from space, which they call like the grounders call like Sky Crew. You got the grounders, who are kind of almost like the primitive kind of people, who are almost like a warrior kind of like spears and horses and bows and arrows and things like that. Then you have like the people in this military base that was in the mountain called Mount Weather, who basically spent their entire lives trapped in this mountain because of the radiation on the outside. They can't actually go outside. They're stuck there. So it's almost like a three different societies try to coexist. And then at the third season, everything gets all fucked up again.
So that's worth like a big binge watch.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like we watched, like we destroyed that show probably like in 2 weeks. Episodes here, a couple episodes there. And now we're going to wait until the next season. But definitely, I would definitely check out the 100.
All right. I'll be down. I'll be game to try it.
Now, my comic pick of the week this week is a little series called Jupiter's Legacy by Mark Miller. I believe this is put out through Image. So basic premise of this book, kind of almost like a Watchmen. So basically, it's the future. So like your Superman type character, your Batman type character, they're the superheroes. So they're next generation. They're kids. They're all spoiled and lazy and going to clubs, and they're so bored because there's no crime and stuff like that. But humanity is kind of like fucked in terms of like crime and like poverty and stuff like that. So where the Batman type character is like, hey, we should really step in to change things because democracy does not work. Like the way things are don't work. And the Superman type character is like, no, we can't do that. So the Batman type character convinces the son of the Superman character type character, who gets no respect from his dad, to kill him and take over, and everything is going to be better. Well, that happens, and then turns out everything is not better. So it's a nice, interesting take on. It doesn't go as far as Watchmen in terms of cynicism and stuff like that, but it's definitely worth reading. So Jupiter's Legacy is my pick of the week.
Okay.
And Mark Miller's also put out like almost like a prequel series that takes place like in 1950s with those characters, like the older characters, much younger when they just got their powers and trying to stop crime and all that kind of stuff. So almost like a Justice Society type vibe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Cool. Well, on that note, I guess we should wrap things up for this week's Small Screen Heroes. Thank you very much, Super Mercy, for dropping by. You're welcome anytime.
Always a pleasure to talk with... What do I call you? You're like...
I'm just Badge.
You're... No, but I mean, you're like... We've been doing We've been friends a long time. We've been doing podcasts a long time. I mean, I should be your fucking tag team partner. Really. Like, you've known me way longer than anyone.
Yeah.
Well, you know. We are the dream team.
Yes, we are. That's why I'm so glad to have you on the Wrestling Cast.
Yeah. And thank you for having me on this show. I'm glad I could talk about DC Superhero Girls and Poison Ivy and get schooled on fucking the 100.
Yes. Cool. So on that note, until next time, I'm Batch, and read a book.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.